blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 186, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 5. Though I am poor and sorrowful, hear thou, O God, my cry. Let thy salvation come to me and lift me up on high. 1, 2, 3, and 5 of 186.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the second chapter of the book of Romans, Romans chapter 2. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Romans chapter 2. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath, and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel, Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou, therefore, which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? And thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? And thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. For circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law, but if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God of heaven and of earth, and thou who once again in thy providence spares and brings us to thy house in this afternoon, despite what we are within and without, each and every one of us, give us to take heed to thy word. For we verily are they of the circumcision. We truly are they which do make our boast of God. We are truly of those that do profess to teach others. And thou knowest our hearts. May we be kept on every side, that we may not dishonor thee as those who have thy name upon our forehead and do make a profession in the midst of this world, that this world would mock thy name on our account. Lord, that thou mayest so give to us the tender fear of thy name to live, to dwell within our hearts, because by nature it is not there, even though we may be full of our religion, and though we may be full of the knowledge of thy truth, that we may receive thy sacraments. But thy sacraments, they are not of the letter, but they are that of the heart. And we must be circumcised therein. We need to have the filth of the heart to be put away from us, and that pollution of the heart may be cleansed, and that the fountain itself may be cured. And that is alone possible in and through what thou hast accomplished. Lord, that thou may then renew us, Grant us that true regeneration, that we may not continue under all thy mercies and callings and blessings, without God and without hope in this world, with our children, but that thy Spirit may be poured forth from above, while the means of grace still may be used, and that the fruit of all thy mediatorial work may be coming forth in the days in which we live, that it may be worked in us and in our dear children, that need that we also may be forgiven, that we may be justified, that we may be sanctified, that we may be redeemed from all our iniquity, that we may be reconciled again to our Maker and our Creator. Oh, do make thy dear Son then to be exalted in our hearts. Oh, reveal him unto those who are destitute. Do show him to those who do not know the way, to be rid of that triple-headed enemy, to be rid of that burden that thou hast placed upon their heart as they go through this life to a great eternity. O Lord, that thou may open unto them thy dear Son, that the revelation of him may cause their hearts to rejoice, that the freedom of the gospel may be experienced by those who are so bound in that prison wherein thy servant did have to complain of himself, that law that was in his members. O wretched man that I am, and unable to deliver himself therefrom. But all that fountain that is in thee, and that fountain it is so, so full unto those who are the chief of the sinners, and insufficient for the whole world. Lord, look then upon us and upon thy, upon all our children, and that we may be taken for thy own account. Look on thy servants, that may go over the length and the breadth of the world. Oh, bring in thy kingdom in the last days, wherein thy word does still go forth before thy second coming again to judge the quick and the dead. For thy footsteps certainly can be heard when we see all about us the declension in the ways of sin, that man, he goes more and more deeper and deeper into that same way of Sodom and Gomorrah, to make ourselves ripe for that second judgment, wherein thou wilt destroy not the world with water, but that thou wilt burn it up with fire, to cleanse it from all iniquity, and to make a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Oh, that thou may cause this world then to understand, that thy word may go forth, that the heads of our nations might learn to bow before thee, and that the kings of the earth may bring their glory into thy kingdom, that thou may look upon all those then that are set to rule over us, the judges of our land, and all those who make decisions on our behalf. O, cause thy Spirit to bring it into the dust of self-abasement, and wilt thou make man to come to know that thou art God, that our laws may be according to thy holy law, and that righteous judgment to put away evil may take place in the courts of our land. Look on all those places where there is warfare, where parents must be deprived of their children, and wives of their husbands. Look on all those that fight upon the battlefields. Be thou unto them a refuge, from the storm and from the tempest. And wilt thou also keep in those places from walking in the ways of sin. And wilt thou look on all those that bring thy word in places where it was never known, all the mission fields. And wilt thou look on our own mission field also. Wilt thou grant a servant also for this place, that he that they also may behold the face of their teacher. And when our sister congregation in this area has also sent a call to one of thy servants, come over and help us. Oh, could it please thee to remember them also. Oh, that thou may send us help, Lord, in this area, that thy word may go forth and that we may receive assistance in the labors of our hands, which are so very many. Send then forth more servants into thy vineyard. Oh, that thou may instruct in truth in all thy ways, and that thou may lead truly in those steps that are necessary for a man to know, and that he may bring thy word, and that thou may bind it upon the hearts of those who may truly be converted by thee. Have mercy then upon us with our dear children, that they may not be left without thy truth to be proclaimed anymore to them and to their children. Look upon all those that have needs and cares known to thee, all widows, widowers, orphans, and sick ones, those who are in our own midst. Look upon parents and families, the children, the youth, when there is no school for the weeks to come. Lord, that thou may give a little rest to the teachers and all the staff. And wilt thou keep our children also in safety in the home and by the way upon the farms. Lord, that thou would watch over and protect them. And wilt thou give also a desire in these weeks to find a place at thy footstool and in the midst of thy word to be instructed by thee. Look on those who do travel in the weeks that are to come. And thou knowest all those who hope to go to the nation of Israel, Lord, that thou may watch over and protect them with thy servant. And wilt thou grant them a good time to gather in that place, that they may receive instruction from thee, and that thou may remember that people to whom that they go, and all those that will travel in the congregation in the months to come, when they come and go with our children, two children, and loved ones far and near. Wilt thou watch over and protect over all dangerous ways. And wilt thou bring us all safely together again at thy appointed time. Be with us in this afternoon. Lord, help us. Thou knowest what we stand in need of again to speak. Oh, that thou may open our mouth, and that thou may give, that there may be something for profit, for this one or for that one in this afternoon hour. That thou may make it good to be in thy house of prayer. Thou canst do it even for the youth and for the children, and for the oldest ones. Oh, break our hard and stony hearts, and that thou may cause us to have a good hour together in thy favor. Forgive all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 236, all stanzas, by all whom thou hast made, be praise and worship paid through earth abroad. Thy name be glorified. There is none great beside, matchless. Thy works abide, for thou art God. The last collection today is for the Building Fund, Psalter 236, 1 through 4. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. Who was that? That was Herod. He had given a beautiful oration, and he was honored even so far as a deity, and he gave not God the glory, and he was punished immediately. How is that now? Children, boys and girls, when you have finished a year in school and you come to the end and you graduate, and then you are given congratulations by others, how is it then in your heart? Or is it in your heart any different than it was in the heart of Herod? Or when we will all look within ourselves, then we have to say, why is it that the Lord takes away Herod and that the Lord does not take away us? Does not that same sin lie in you and in me as lay in the heart of that man? Although the Lord does not permit us to go to the same extent as that man did go. How different that was in the heart, in the life of God's servant Elisha. He did not want a gift when a gift was offered to him. And why no gift? He would take nothing. Why no gift? Well, no gift because of the honor of the name of the Lord. Oh, then he would not have that man to think and that this was something that could be paid for. No, it had to do with God's honor. And then he was ready to forfeit everything that was pleasant to him and also necessary for him in this life, to forfeit everything for the honor of the name of the Lord. It was it not so with Abraham? I will not take from a thread even unto a shoe latchet, he says, lest you should think that you have made me rich. You have not made me rich. No. God has made me rich. And you also may know that it was not you, but that it was the Lord. The honor of the name of the Lord. This is now what is dwelling in its essence, at least, in the heart of the people of the Lord. Not always in its practice, sadly not. And when it is not in the practice, then the Lord, he teaches his people to ask for it in the practice. And that is in the subject of our catechism for this afternoon, our Lord's Day 47, question 122. That is the first petition of the Lord's Prayer. Question 122, which is the first petition? Answer, hallowed be thy name. That is, grant us first rightly to know thee, and to sanctify, glorify, and praise thee in all thy works, in which thy power, wisdom, goodness, justice, mercy, and truth are clearly displayed. And further also, that we may so order and direct our whole lives, our thoughts, words, and actions, that thy name may never be blasphemed, but rather honored and praised on our account. So far, our Lord's Day. The petition concerning the hallowing of the name of God. First, a petition for the right knowledge of God. Second, a petition for the right sanctification of His name. And third, a petition for the right ordering of our lives. A petition concerning the hallowing of the name of God. First, for the right knowledge of God. Second, for the right sanctification of His name. Third, for the right ordering of our lives. Hallowed be thy name. That is, grant us first rightly to know thee. Thus, it is a petition, it is a request for knowledge. Do you also ask for knowledge? Boys and girls, when you have been in school this past year, did you ask for knowledge? Or did you seek to get all that knowledge in your own strength? Here is a petition. Here is a request. It is a request for knowledge. It is a request that we might know. There was a time that we did not need to ask for that knowledge because we had it. Thus, but a poor man who had knowledge and does not have that knowledge anymore. Because knowledge that is part of God's image, knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. Thus, in our creation, we had this knowledge. And when that image of God was lost, then also the knowledge which belonged to that image was lost with it. And what does that mean? That means if we have not knowledge, that we are ignorant. What was that knowledge that we have lost? That is the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God. Is that not something? The creation of God, made by His hands, made with the knowledge of Him, and now a creature that does not know Him anymore. That we knew His being, that we knew Him in His existence, that we knew Him in all of His attributes. That we knew Him in His majesty, that we knew Him in His perfections, and all of that knowledge of our Maker, our Creator, that is lost, ignorant. And how is that now in our heart in this day? Is there any burden in our heart because we are so ignorant? Does that bother us that we have no knowledge of God? Do we miss this knowledge? By nature, there is no concern. No, we can just leave the Lord in His place. And we can go on in our life without that knowledge of Him. Is that also still so in your life?
We do not even realize how ignorant that we are, that we have lost this knowledge of our Maker. Thus, what is that great change that is taking place in regeneration? A man is receiving knowledge. And when he comes to receive knowledge, then he receives knowledge of what? He receives knowledge of his ignorance. He comes to know that he does not know. Thus, a mystery, but not only a mystery, a burden. A burden that begins to lay on the heart of a man or of a boy or of a girl, that I do not know God. And that this is the way that I am traveling through this world with a soul that goes to eternity, that goes to the judgment seat, and I do not know him whom I have to meet. Thus, a burden and a desire. A desire that we might come to know him again. And why is that a good thing, that we may come to know him? What does John say? He says, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Thus, to know him is life. Do we desire life? Or do we desire to be dead? Thus, that life that consists in knowledge. Thus, when that life that is born, that desire for that knowledge of that true God is born. Is that life born? Have we this mark of that life? That there is in us a burden, that we do not know him anymore, that we have a desire that we may come to know him again? Solomon desired that all the earth would come to know and to bow down before God. That all the earth may know that thou art the Lord God and none else. Then it was his burden that men did not bow down, that men did not fear that name of the Lord. Is that possible that we come to know God? That we come to the knowledge of God? Some say, no. We cannot know God. What do you think, young people? What would be your answer? It is true that God is incomprehensible. It is true that we cannot know him in his perfections, or that we cannot know him in the height of his perfections. But that does not mean that we cannot know God. No, if man was created in that knowledge of God, and man knew God, that means that he was created with the capability of knowing him, not as an animal, who cannot come to know God as man could know God, having a soul being created in his image. No, that is something that God has given to the crown of his creation. And thus it is possible that man comes to know God again. But then what must happen? Then it is necessary that that image that is again restored in man.
And how can a man come to know him again? We have spoken lately of the book of nature, and it is possible that we know something of God through that book of nature. It is possible to look about us and to see that God exists. It is possible to see that He is a God of wisdom. And more than this, there is not so much more than this. But there is another book, that is the book of our conscience. And that book of our conscience, by this book we may know more than what we may know of Him by the book of nature. In the book of our conscience, we may know that He is also righteous. We may know that He is just. How may we know that we may know this through the book of our conscience? We have read it together out of God's Word. What did the Lord say? He said that there are those that have not the law of God, but they are a law unto themselves. And they have a conscience also, and that conscience that is either accusing them or it is excusing them. Accusing when they do wrong, excusing when they do right. Thus, regardless of that fact, that man has not God's word, there are those things that man may know, his existence, His wisdom, His orderliness in nature, and His justice. My conscience accusing me that I have to stand before Him and to give an account by the book of my conscience. And more than this, there is not so much more than this. What would that be, children, young people? What would that be to go now through your whole life? Do you ever think about those people? To go now through your whole life, knowing that there is a God, seeing how beautiful that He has made everything, knowing that I have to give an account, but I do not know who that God is. Do you not see what a privilege that you have? Because what may you have that so many do not have? Maybe they live next door to you. What do you have? You have the Word of God. And what may you read in that Word of God? You may read who God is. And in that Word, He reveals who He is. Have you a desire that you may read it? Have you a desire that you may come also to know this God? Hallowed be Thy name. That is, grant us first rightly to know Thee. Thus our instructors, they say not, grant us to know Thee, but grant us rightly to know Thee. Thus he makes a distinction. And by that distinction, then he does not divide between the church and the world, but he divides within the church of God. Give us then rightly to know Thee, because we all know
him. We all know him as we can read of him in his holy word. There is so much knowledge because of the publishing of that word of God in the world. And yet, it is still not that knowledge which our instructors are speaking about. And that is so good. And that is so profitable to fill our minds with that knowledge of him out of that holy scriptures. All do we have a desire to do this also. But let us never think when we have memorized that scripture from the beginning to the end, that we now have this right knowledge of God. Reverend Kirsten, he compares that historical faith to a fake flower. And that fake flower that looks so beautiful, but there is no life in it. No life in it. That is, tradition says, Solomon had to make a choice. He had to choose which ones were real, which ones were fake. What did he do? Tradition says he commanded that the windows be opened. Why? The bees. Because there is no life. And when there is no life in those flowers, then those creatures of God, they can detect that it is fake. Fake flower. That fake flower with no life. There is no movement. And thus it is with our historical faith, our historical knowledge of God. There is no movement. No, we can argue. We can defend. But there is no movement. There is nothing that draws us unto this God. The right knowledge of God. That right knowledge of God, that is an effectual knowledge. That is a knowledge which is bringing forth fruits. Thus, when we are asking, hallowed be thy name, and when we are asking for this knowledge, then we are asking that the Lord may give the application of his Spirit in our heart. That the Lord may give us the true knowledge, that the Lord may give us the experimental knowledge of him, that our heart may truly hallow his name. Because when the Lord will convert us, then we will begin to hallow his name. Then we will begin to reverence his name. His day, his law, then we will say with Joseph, how shall I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Why? Because there was a hallowing of his name. Then sin will become our burden. We do not say we will be without it. No, far from it. Paul does not say he was without it. No, but it was his burden. Then the heart begins to mourn it. The heart begins to flee it. Oh, it was in that moment that the Lord converted that thief, that he could not mock anymore. No, he could not mock anymore, that he had to warn instead, dost not thou fear God? Our second thought, a petition for the right sanctification of his name. Hallowed be thy name, that is, grant us first rightly to know thee, and to sanctify, glorify, and praise thee in all thy works, in which thy power, wisdom, goodness, justice, mercy, and truth are clearly displayed. To sanctify, What does that mean? That means to declare to be holy. God hallows his own name. He declares his own name to be holy. But he will also have his name to be sanctified. That is, he will also have others to declare his name to be holy. That is, he will have his creatures to declare that name to be holy. That is now the purpose that he has made his creature, that he may sanctify him. To declare holy, that means to set it apart. To set apart that name of God from every other name in this world, from our name and from your name and from every name. To set it apart as higher, to set it apart as hallowed. That is not done so much in the world in which we are living. By fallen creatures, no, it is just the opposite, is it not? Or is it the grief of our heart that man in this world, he does nothing but blaspheme instead that name of the Lord? But it is not only in the world. No, it is also by many who have that name every day upon their lips, that name that is not so very set apart. Because we live in the midst of a world that will bring God and that name of God down, as it were, to our own level. That we will deal with the Word of God as we deal with other books. That we deal with the commands of the Lord as we deal with other commands. That we deal with the worship of the Lord as we deal with other meetings in our society. That we address the Lord as we address our fellow men. Everything to be casual. Oh, that is not to set apart that name of God as holy and as hallowed and as different from every other name in this world.
To sanctify, glorify, and praise thee in all thy works in which thy power, wisdom, goodness, justice, mercy, and truth are clearly displayed. Indeed, to sanctify and to glorify and to praise him, that will be known by his people. We heard a little of that in this morning. That will not begin after this life. No, that is going to begin in this life. Then it will not be a strange work that people are called to do when they depart from this world. But to sanctify, to glorify, and to praise him, that is something that needs to come from him himself. That is something that needs to be given unto fallen men. The works of God in nature are already very great. His power, his wisdom, goodness, faithfulness. Indeed, these are, as we read, clearly displayed in nature. It ought to humble us. Does it humble us? All the works of God in nature, does that make us day by day to hallow his name? Oh, when we are honest, we take it all for granted, do we not? And with everything that we receive from him, wherein his power, wisdom, goodness, justice, mercy, and truth are clearly displayed, we still have our back to him. We still have our back to him. And we go on in this way with the blessings. And that is not only by nature,
But it is possible, even after received grace, that we are swallowed by a great fish and vomited out on dry ground, and we are still angry with the Lord because of the gourd. What is man? What is man who is not reconciled unto the will of the Lord? How great a pit from which we need to be delivered. No, it is not with us. Hallowed be thy name. And yet we read in God's word, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. That is something. Who was that man that was a leper? That was a Samaritan leper. He was on the outside of it, and he was laying in his misery. And the Lord included him. The Lord included him with the others. And that was such a wonder to him. That the Lord gave it to the others, that was not a wonder to him, that he could understand, because of the people, they were different than he, but that he was included. When he did not deserve to be included, how now do you think that that man has ever after spoken about that name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you not think that that is now a man which has set that name apart from every name in this world? Is that now not a people who learn, hallowed be thy name? Israel, when the Lord delivered them out of all their misery, then they sang. Miriam, she brought the timbrels, and they sang the praises of the Lord. They saw all those enemies dead upon the seashore. And then that name of the Lord that became so great in the eyes of that people. And yet, what do we read of that same people? They are brought into the wilderness. And it is not once, but it is time and time again. And that this needs to come from heaven. Because we do not hallow that name of God from our side. What did the Lord have to do? We read that the Lord, that he had to bring that people to their wit's end. To their wit's end. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. And then, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Then they hallowed that name of the Lord. And how was it further then in their life? You say, did they always remember that? They did not. Because then the Lord had again to bring them even unto the gates of death. And when they were there, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And then you hear it again. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. It is not once. No, it is over and over and over again. That is an instruction. That is a lifelong lesson in the life of the true people of the Lord. Hallowed be thy name. And then our fathers, they do not only speak about his power and his wisdom and his goodness and his mercy, but they also speak about his justice, his justice. How is that now possible? Or did you ever feel something of his justice? What will that justice do for us? Is not justice something which will bring us into our eternal condemnation? Is it not justice that cuts off all our hope of mercy? Because God has to punish sin. Is there any consolation for a guilty man when he stands before the bar of justice, when he is guilty? But our fathers, they speak about sanctifying, glorifying, praising him also for his justice. And indeed, there is a people who will learn so to magnify him. There can be no relief to a man's conscience in the subverting of justice when you will try to come around it this way or that way. And then we can try to avoid that punishment in what way we can. But there is no relief to the conscience of a man in the subversion of justice. None. There is only one way that a man can receive rest in his soul, and that is through the satisfaction of that justice. And it is only now through the satisfaction of this justice that that people, they will learn to say, "Hallowed be thy name." That thief, he said, "We indeed justly, we receive the due reward of our deeds." Then he said this, he said, "This man hath done nothing amiss." Nothing. This was now the foundation of his further cry. What was his further cry? "Lord, remember me. Remember me." Congregation, how can the Lord remember that man? How can he remember that man? Can he make it good again? And yet he said, "Lord, remember me." What was now the basis upon which that man prayed unto the Lord, cried unto the Lord? What was the foundation? What was his only hope? What made him cry? What permitted him to cry? "This man had done nothing amiss." It was the satisfaction of justice in the Son of God upon the cursed tree, that he is not there for his own account. Here is now the fountain out of which the sighs and the cries for mercy may flow unto God. And there is a reason for this. There is a reason for this. Because all the Lord, from all eternity, from the council of peace already, he has his honor in view. And it is going to be to all eternity hallowed. Hallowed, hallowed be thy name. Or will you also be one that may so glorify him? Let us sing 263, 1 and 2.
unto God our Savior. Sing a joyful song. Wondrous are his doings, for his arm is strong. He has brought salvation. He has made it known. And before the nations is his justice shown. 1 and 2 of 263. And further also, that we may so order and direct our whole lives, our thoughts, words, and actions, that thy name may never be blasphemed, but rather honored and praised on our account. Our last thought, a petition for the right ordering of our lives. And why is it that the Lord Jesus would instruct his disciples to ask for the right ordering of our lives? No, that is not to earn anything. That is not possible. To earn anything, favor in the sight of God with the right ordering of our life. Not only not possible, it is not necessary. Is that not a wonder? It is not necessary. Thus, why? True conversion, that is for the sake of the glory of God. For the glory of God. Children, you can understand that too. Humanly speaking, what is now the profit for the Lord, if we may so say it in this afternoon, what is now the profit for the Lord? If the Lord would forgive all our sins and deliver us from all the punishment. And that was all. What was now the profit to him? Or wherein does that profit come that is in the sanctification in the life of his people? It is in the right ordering of their lives, because it is by the renewal of the life that the Lord is receiving his honor and his glory. And that is the reason, that is the cause of the redemption of his people. That is what the psalmist said. He said, there is forgiveness with thee, that is justification. Why? For what purpose? You know the rest, children? There is forgiveness with thee. Why? That thou mayest be feared. Thus, the right ordering of our lives. Here is the purpose of the Lord. That is to redeem his church. That is to reclaim his church from sin. And that is also among all the nations that are in this world. There was no reason that the Lord could or should deliver his people out of their captivity, no reason from their sight. Nothing. The Lord says, not for your sakes do I this. But what was happening? Well, in that captivity, then we read that that enemy was mocking. And it was one thing when that enemy only mocked at people because they deserved it. But there was a mocking also of that hallowed name of the Lord. Then that enemy, they said, come and sing us one of the songs of Zion. What did they say? Where is your God? And the Lord is jealous for the honor of his name. He could not do it for the sake of his people. There is no worthiness in them. But he will do it for the glorification of his own name. And therefore, he had pity upon them, that so we may order and direct our whole lives, our thoughts, words, and actions, that thy name may never be blasphemed, but rather honored and praised on our account. How different than the desire of the natural man. Because whose honor do we look for? We look for our own honor. It is not hallowed be thy name, it is hallowed be my name, is it not? But now, what our fathers speak of is so very different. King Saul, he did not care about the name of the Lord. He said, honor me now before the people. And as long as I get my honor, then the rest doesn't matter. Blasphemed on our account. Now our fathers go further than this. They say there is even more. Oh, to be actually the cause that in this world the name of the Lord is being dishonored, is being blasphemed. God's people, they sometimes fear to fall one day. that one day they will fall into some sin and bring dishonor on the name of the Lord. Oh, what would that be? What would that be when the world would mock the name of God on our account? Is it also so with us? It is possible that we go about this world with such a false shame of the truth, of the Word of God, of the true God, of the true religion, such a false shame that the world is mocking. That the world is mocking. We were in Lethbridge last week, young people, and just walking into a store. And we saw how that the people were dressed, the ladies, the women, the girls. And I thought to myself, I can understand. It is hard, isn't it? Young people. To stand all by yourself, that is hard. Then I can understand why sometimes when we see you, you look just like everybody else. Do you know something? There are people out there, they are mocking. They're mocking. They say that people, they make a profession, and look at their walk. Hutterites, they're not afraid. Muslims, they're not afraid. And us, when you will not, young men, go along to the bar, or we can understand what is drawing you. But there are those, when you will go along, that are mocking. The people, they say, they cannot stand on their own two feet. And the name of their God means nothing. Means nothing. Or are we the cause? Are we the cause that the world also is mocking that name of the Lord? And do we go upon our knees and say, Oh Lord, hallowed be thy name. Oh, blasphemed on our account. If our life that is a testimony in this world, then we will be mocked. Then we will be mocked. We will be mocked by the world. But then the Lord is not mocked. And if they will mock the name of the Lord, then it is not on our account. No, that is on their account. It is because of the hatred of God and of His truth. But if we are the cause, where will we make our shame to go? Is it not then a wonder that the Lord still bears with us to permit us to continue in this world, that thy name may never be blasphemed, but rather honored and praised on our account. What a wonder that that is written. Honored and praised on our account. Is that not something? That is how we were created. Our whole being that has honored and praised that name of the Lord. Oh, how deep, how deep, how deep have we fallen. Is not Satan laughing? After the fall, how great a restoration that would be, would it not? How great a restoration when the Lord would take us from those who actually dishonor the name of the Lord and restore us again to that blessed purpose that He has made us in paradise. Oh, to honor and to praise Him, and that it would be honored and praised on our account. No, that is not a renewal that is affected by us. That is not in our power. That is now what the Lord Jesus taught His disciples to pray. Hallowed be Thy name, Lord, grant it to me. Give it to me, what does not lie in my nature, but that my heart may also be renewed, so to glorify and to magnify Thy name. Is that not a good foundation wherewith we may bend our knees? The Lord cannot do it for our account. Cannot. It is impossible. But now we may go on our knees and we may say, Lord, if Thou will give me true conversion, then Thy name is going to receive the honor. Wilt Thou not do it then, that Thy name may be hallowed, and then the Lord can hear? And that is why we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, O grant us such a heart, such a new heart. How far away are we from hallowing in Thy holy name? Wilt Thou grant us new hearts? Young and old alike, break our hard and stony hearts. Give us a new desire, and wilt Thou deliver us from all our iniquities and redeem us again to that purpose wherefore Thou hast created us. Dismiss us with Thy blessing. Forgive all that was sinful this day in speaking and in listening. O give that a little crumb may have fallen here or there on purpose by Thee, for we know not the hearts, but Thou can bless the most simple word. Bring it then home and be with us in the week that is to come. Spare from all accident, danger, evil, and sin, and give us all that we need for our labors. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 431, 1, 2, and 5. Unto God our King, joy and strength of Israel, lofty anthems sing, glorious are His ways. To His name give praise with the harp and timbrel. 1, 2, and 5 of 431. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.